Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. You are to be exalted above all, Lord. And I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit move upon this body right now, that their hearts are open to receive, that you use my lips, Lord, as a vessel of honor, to speak your word, to speak your truth, that it be cut to the bone, that lives be changed and they be empowered by the Holy Spirit to stand therefore in your liberty. Your will, your way today. Block out all the distractions, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The opening scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to start in 56 through 58. And this is probably going to be a two-part series. I've spent the better part of quite a bit of time. I was up very late last night as the Lord was directing me. But if the Lord adds to it, it may be longer. And in verse 56, it says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," here it is, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And that's what we're going to talk about. The title of this sermon is "Be Steadfast." And it is "Be Steadfast Till the End." Amen. To understand steadfast, I wanted to get a picture. And it, basically, in the Greek, it is hadreos, which is sitting, it's sedentary, it's firm, and then the last part of it is it's immovable. And have you ever come upon an immovable object? It doesn't matter how much you push or you pull, it does not budge. It does not change. Think about a mountain. It doesn't matter what climate or anything comes, that mountain is immovable. It's firm. I think about at Disney World, there's this section over by the carousel, and there is a sword in the stone. They have it built in there, and people come up, grown men, and they try to pull this sword out of the stone, and it just does not budge at all. It will not move. And then, of course, at one point, they send up somebody, and all of a sudden, the sword pops up out of the stone. But the idea was, it didn't matter all their might, all their strength. They were pulling and pushing, and they could not move that object. So think about an immovable object, and then think about you. Are you a piece of wheat, wasting in the wind? Or are you a rock, immovable? And to understand where we're at, I think, and this is where the Lord really started, is before we get into being steadfast, I think we need to understand the times in which we live in persevering to the end. And that's the point, that title, it wasn't just being steadfast today, it's till the end, until your last breath, or until that trumpet sounds and the Lord comes back. We are to be steadfast, immovable objects standing in the Lord. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts." So first of all, a scoffer, we got a false teacher, a mocker of the gospel. And I think it ties around in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And that's where we're going to be for a little while here. So if you want to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, man, I have a hard time saying that. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I feel like we are definitely living here in these times. In verse 2, so it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I like how Timothy starts there. He starts with that men shall be lovers of their own selves. So this is the sewage pipe that all the garbage flows through, what we're going to be reading through here. That men are going to be lovers of themselves. And I was in the middle of work this week, and I was talking with one of my coworkers, and I had talked about it. I just said, you know, we are living in a time where we are so narcissistic. I talked about Facebook, and I just said, you know, we have a page dedicated to ourselves, an idol of ourselves. We take selfies and post those pictures up constantly. It's all self-centeredness through us. And I clarify, I said, you know, I'm sure there's good things through Facebook. Some people do some things, but the bottom line is the majority of the people today are lovers of themselves. They put themselves first. That's not an immovable object in the Lord. You're a lover of yourself. And because you're a lover of yourself, all the rest of this garbage follows through. So think about how this relates to your own life. Think about those who you impact too. As we are called to be steadfast. Because we are lovers of our own selves. We are covetous. Covetous. All you care about is what others have and what you don't have. You covet what someone else has. You covet their life. You covet their things. I want more. That's this society in which we live. You have Jesus, and Jesus is supposed to be first. The first commandment. We said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. There should be nothing before him. He is first. Divine order, first. All the other things are added unto him. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's common. It's common today. I am so worried when I have Caitlin. I tell her no, and I can see where she tries to test. She tries to test me. I say no, Caitlin, and I have to get firm. And then she starts to cry. I am trying to set the tone early. Amen. Early. But parents don't have, they don't have that authority in Christ. You, when you have kids, you need to have that authority. You are, Stephen, you will be the leader of your home, the spiritual authority in your home. Raise your child up in the ways of the Lord, and they will not depart from the faith. They will be steadfast, an immovable object. Unthankful, unholy. Man, there's no setting apart today. It's like, on Sunday morning, I'm going to be holy, but then on the other days, I'm going to live for the world. I'm going to live for myself. Again, going back to the sewage pipe, lovers of yourself, right? There's no setting apart. There's no call to being living holy. It's non-existent. The church doesn't even preach that today. It's just about what God can give you and what God can do for you. Amen. What can you do for God? It's like JFK said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? What can you do for God? What can you do? Do you ask that question every day? When you go to work, are you looking to make an eternal impact, eternal significance? Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers. You think about, like, think about in school, the kids that do good and they get mocked for doing good.
Nerds.
Yeah. Despisers of those that do good. You do good, and people mock you for it. That's still today. Oh, you're a holy roller. Really? Really? Am I? No, I love the Lord my God. He is first in my life. You're just crazy. No, I'm not. I'm in love with the Lord. And he is supposed to be first. Traitors. Backstabbers. That's what I look like. That's what I think about as a traitor. They turn on you as soon as you turn your back and they get what they want. Lovers of themselves. They put themselves first. They have no problem in stabbing you in the back to achieve their goal. They will manipulate you, turn you which way to get what they want. Heady. That's reckless. I think about the protests that go on right now. Think about our country right now in the political setting that we live in. Think about the protests that are coming in. There's no chance for a separate voice. There's no saying, this is what I believe in. You get muzzled out. There's anarchy in the streets over it. Amen. If you don't conform to my way, I was sitting at the party, and I was thinking about at what my wife's coworker, and she was talking about this other coworker in her office that he would get angry, and he gets pissed off at coworkers because they don't believe in his own view. And I think about the protests because they want to achieve what they want. They're lovers of themselves. They're not willing to reason. They love themselves. Therefore, I'll only do what I want and I get what I want. Remember what we talked about, the lover of themselves. That is the sewage pipe which all this flows through. High-minded, puffed. That's being puffed up with pride. I see that a lot in generation with men my age. You can't tell them what they need to hear. They're too proud. They're too proud to bend their knee. The truth gets spoken. They hear the truth. They do not want to receive it. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You choose self over God, over Christ. And here's the kicker. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Everything I just talked about here, we're not talking about atheists and we're not talking about the world. Yes, the world has all that. We are talking about the church.
Right.
We are talking about the church today. This is in the church. There isn't a set apart. It's grafted into the church now. We are in those times. We are in those times. And it says, from such turn away. See, the world, you are called to be, go to the world and to speak the truth. But when you have someone who cunningly says, Lord, Lord, but they're really not in him, it says, turn away from such. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive women, silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I think about the truth that has been preached over the years with my dad. And I just think over the last few weeks, the stuff the Lord has given me, the truth that sets you free.
Amen.
Yet we're small in numbers. Isn't that peculiar? There's not thousands of people on a stage with smoke and streaming lights. Because, and I'm not saying all big churches are bad, but I'm just saying it serves the purpose. It's a show. Again, they don't put God first. It's a lover of themselves. I want to be exalted. Think about in Babylon, the Tower of Babel was built to be above God, to reach the heavens. Why did Adam fall? To be as God. This has been constant throughout, and it's so apparent now. when you step back, and I was thinking about, again, my coworker this week, and he just, I told him, I'm like, we are in those days. It's always been that way. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Just anybody that knows the truth, you step back and you just look at it. You ever think, like when you're in the middle of a moment, you can't really see through things, but when you take a little step back and you just kind of see everything that's going on right now, think about what just happened in Brussels. And you think about the political swayness of what's going on in our country right now. And you think about the manipulation. Like the foundation in which this country was built on is just not apparent anymore. It's not. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They resist the truth. The truth gets spoken and it's resisted. It's not even received a little. It's just resisted. I don't want to hear it. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as there also was. But I love this. So here's Paul talking to Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, the manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. To endure meant he had to have been steadfast. Amen. He endured through those things. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you are called to be set apart, and when you speak truth. Katie, you were in that room. It got a little testy, didn't it? It got a little testy. I'm trying to speak the truth, and my coworker was not wanting to receive it. And it got a little weird in the office. That was just a little taste. But when you are called, and when you speak truth, there are going to be those who will reject you. Eventually, maybe it'll come to this point where we will have an end painted on our building, on our home. Will that sway you? Because you'll know the times in which you live. We just talked about in Luke. Lift up your head. Amen. Your redemption is coming nigh. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's just going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. Things will continue to deteriorate. Deceiving and being deceived. So just to deceive others, to manipulate others. Again, to serve their own desires. But continue thou, that's for us, continue in the things which thou hast learned, as been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them from. So as for you, Timothy, continue, be steadfast. As for you, Stephen, as for you, Joe, as for you, Rich, as for you, Shirley, be steadfast, be immovable. Amen. Be strong in your faith, Marcos. Amen. Do not waver. Do not be like that tear. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given, not some Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Again, my coworker, we were talking about, he said, really, you think God would judge somebody? And Katie chimed in right away and said, well, what about Noah? And he's like, you believe that? There's no science support for a flood. That's just the story. Really? All inspiration is of God. All inspiration is of God. It's real. I take this literally. That's the only way I know it. I don't need to like interpret 1,000 ways, because man's going to interpret it how they want to achieve their own selfish desires. I know to speak what the Lord says, and that's what speaks truth to me. So yes, I do believe God is going to return, and I do believe he is going to judge. And those who are not in him, those whose names are not in the book of life, will be thrown into the pit, where weeping and gnashing of teeth will be forevermore. I do not want to personally have that opportunity. And I told my wife the other day, I said, I reached out because I'm praying as we come into contact. I want my in-laws. I want my in-laws to be saved. I will not stand before God and have their blood on my hands. I must be bold. You must be bold. You must not waver. That doesn't mean you cram the gospel down their throat, but in love, but you must be persistent. You must be persistent, Stephen, with your brother. You must be persistent with your in-laws. You too, Katie. Immovable. Encourage. You are a majority in your household. You are a majority in your household. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I love that. That instruction in righteousness, God's way, his way of doing things, not man's. That man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, we're talking about steadfastness and preserving to the end so you understand where we're at. And I think about, as I was reading through that scripture, and then as God started to reveal the scriptures to me, Jesus spoke in Revelation chapter 3. He spoke to the angel of the church of Sardis. Now think about, we just talked about the church. This wasn't just for the world. This is talking about the church. And he says in Sardis, he said, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee." I actually like this when I read it, and I went into the New Living Translation. And I like the way it's said. It says, "I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive." Remember, we're talking about the church. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Does that pierce to the heart? Think about the church today. Wake up! Strengthen what little remains, the truth. For even what is left is almost dead. Church is almost dead in America. Amen. It is almost dead in America. "I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first." Amen. "Hold to it firmly." Firmly, right? Immovable. Immovable. "Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief." And I think about as that trumpet sounds, and maybe that'll be a Sunday morning, and my God, you imagine the trumpet sounds and those little few that remain in some of those churches that actually get caught up and are gone to be with the Lord, and everyone else is looking around like, what just happened? How desolate they must have felt. I missed the mark. The truth was spoken to me, and I turned away from it. I wavered. I didn't take it literally. God sees the heart. He knows. You can demonstrate and play the role of a churchgoer, of a Christian. But he knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows what you do. If you're just going through the actions, you can play around and talk to those around you. Man, there's some people who need to be hearing this today that are not in this church. You and I and everyone else will stand before the Lord and give an account. We must be diligent and know what is going on. We must be instant, in season and out of season. 2 Peter 3:17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall away, fall from your own steadfastness." You can fall from your steadfastness. You can neglect it. The Bible talks about a falling away. And I think we're in those days where there's, the Old Testament said there's going to be a famine unto the land, but it's a famine of the Word of God. And I think that's today. I see so many sermons posted online and stuff where they use one scripture, and I don't hear Jesus mentioned once more throughout the entire sermon. It's just talking about themselves and what you can gain to promote their books. Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount how to be steadfast. Amen. Remember, falling away from your own steadfastness. Matthew chapter 7 and 21 through 29 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." What is a rock, church? Immovable. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not." Why? It was founded upon a rock. Amen. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. So when the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, the beat upon the house, it fell. And great was the fall of it." Great. It wasn't just slowly. You ever see a flood come and just sweep everything away? It rips everything. We were watching a cartoon and we saw the good dinosaur, and you see this like flood of water coming through, and it just clears out everything. It swept everything away. And there's this one point where I'm pretty sure the dinosaur hits its head on a rock. And that rock, so the flood came, but that rock was still there. It was immovable. The flood came, but it was immovable. "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at this doctrine, for he taught as them as having authority and not as the scribes." That's Jesus saying. He's speaking with authority, and he's trying to cut to the bone to get you to wake up, to realize the importance. "The storms of life come crashing in, but the house remained steadfast because its foundation was built on the rock. You must not waver. In 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, one of Dad's favorite verses, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You cannot neglect the word. This is your life. This teaches you how to be steadfast, to be an immovable object in your faith. If you neglect it, it will go away. And I think about, and I had this example. And Steve, you'll probably appreciate that. So I think about your neighbor. Is it Bob? What's your neighbor? Bill. So I go over to Steve's house in the spring, summer, and fall, and this gentleman, Bill, has an immaculate yard. And they actually have competitions, you know, trying to keep up the yard. So it looks, he's out there constantly mowing and fertilizing and doing all these things. And it's just immaculate. It's green because he tends to it. He tends to it. And I think about myself in this past year, and my wife talked me into not fertilizing, so I didn't fertilize. And I spent a lot of time at the office this week or this past year, and I found myself neglecting my yard. And suddenly, halfway through the summer, I'm looking down. I got creeping Charlie everywhere. I got dandelions, and I'm pulling the dandelions as much as I can. I got clover. I got patches of clover. I think there's a Lucky Charms guy in there. I got stuff everywhere. And because I neglected it. I neglected it. Take that example. Now take a look at this. Do you tend to yourself? Do you tend to your yard every day? Do you get in this? Do you desire, do you hunger and thirst for this? This is the truth. This is the direction. This is your life. This is what you need. There's an answer for everything in here. Man will tell you what you want to hear. This will tell you what you need to hear. And to close with this, because we're going to have to continue on, so we've only got through three pages. Yikes. In Proverbs chapter 24, so taking that image of the yard. So here it is in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 33. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And here it is. Yet a little sleep. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. A little sleep, a little slumber. When the word starts becoming secondary, little by little, that church starts to die. It may not have the appearance of death because it has a lot of cars and everything in it. You, as an individual, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. Amen. You start to deteriorate. You get grafted in. You think about the word, as Jesus talked about, and the thorns fell by, and it choked it. It choked the word because they weren't being steadfast, receiving the truth. Studying to show thyself approved. Do you understand where we're going with this? We're going to go through a lot of examples next Sunday. We're talking about enduring hardship in the midst of your steadfast. This is imperative for the believer to persevere to the end, until you breathe your last breath that God gives you. He gives you every breath, every moment of life. Is grace from him. Use it to make a difference. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for instructing me, for using me, Lord, as it even spoke to my heart, Lord. I am just overwhelmed, and I actually have a joy in my heart, Lord, because I know that whatever comes my way, that if I remain in you, I'm an overcomer. As we go out this week, Lord, let us be immovable, that we stand strong in your faith, that we have that foundation built upon the rock. I encourage this body, Lord, to be in your word. Digest it, devour it, that it be life unto you. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. We love you and we seek your face. Forgive us. Forgive us for this past week if we've missed the mark. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed.